Welcome to Soft Landing, the podcast that makes interior design accessible to everyone. Hey guys, I'm Amy. I'm an interior designer, artist, and space planner. I'm here to talk about everything you need to know about interior design, from furniture to finances. I'm sharing over a decade of experience to help you find real design solutions and craft the space of your dreams. Hello, humans, and thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a long week for me personally and for a lot of the world, and when I'm looking for a way to relax, I have a lot of options. I love drinking hot tea, stretching out on my yoga mat, watching an old movie, but my go-to way to relax is by far and away taking a nice hot bath. I've always been a bath person. I love shopping for fun bath time accessories like bath bombs from Lush, Epsom salts, scented candles. I go all out. For me, the bathroom is a special and sacred place. It needs to feel private, clean, and calm. I spend the majority of my mirror time in the bathroom, and if my surroundings look and feel good, I tend to absorb those vibes and feel more confident. If you're thinking about dipping your toe into the world of renovation, starting with a bathroom can be a good way to begin. It's small, straightforward, and can be a great place to experiment with your style and with your understanding of the ins and outs of renovations. I remember when redecorating the bathroom meant buying a new set of seashell-shaped soap, getting a new color towel set, and picking out a new stencil border for the wall. I always went with an aquatic theme when given a choice in my bathroom. But today we're going to talk about the anatomy of a bathroom renovation and everything you'll want to consider to craft a luxurious and detailed design, with some DIY ideas along the way. I'm going to walk you through all the elements that you'll need to design a sanctuary bathroom that helps you feel refreshed and revitalized every single day. So diving into the super practical stuff first, right out the gate, if you're wanting to refresh your bathroom, there needs to be a plan in place for a temporary bathroom in a different location. If you have a second bathroom in your home, this is an easy one. But if you're renovating your only bathroom, you have to divide your project into phases and time these phases in a way that limits the amount of time your bathroom will actually be unusable. If you're working with a contractor, they should definitely help you do this. Ask them to put together a schedule and highlight the time periods when the bathroom will be off limits and not fully functional. If you're doing things yourself, you'll want to schedule any work that requires the water to be shut off at the same time, so it's all clustered together in one block. And as I mentioned before, please, please, please have an alternate bathroom as a backup, because when construction begins, expect the unexpected. This might be getting a neighbor to commit to sharing their bathroom, staying with a family member or a friend for a few nights when the bulk of the work is being done, or even getting a hotel or Airbnb if you need to. Either way, have a plan in place so that when all of a sudden the toilet is sitting in the middle of the bathroom and not hooked up to the wall, you're not left without a paddle. The best way to ensure that you have a successful bathroom renovation is to plan everything out ahead of time. I know some people have to, just absolutely have to design as they go. They have to build things in order to understand what comes next. I get it. I'm kind of like that myself. But this can cause complications down the line, and you may run into unexpected setbacks. Of course, nothing goes according to plan all the time, but having a plan allows you to make key decisions before the pressure of starting a project comes along. If you know yourself well enough, you know what your process needs to be. But if you're just starting out, my recommendation is to plot and plan and select every little detail before you start ripping the tile off your wall, before you start asking contractors for prices, and before you click that purchase button on anything. So What does planning look like if you aren't a professional designer? Like many things, I would recommend starting with a mood or vision board. And I would recommend not starting with Pinterest, but rather try buying an issue of a magazine like Interior Design Homes or Architectural Digest and clip out every image that makes your heart sing. Start paying attention at restaurants or hotels or friends' homes. And if you can, take pictures of bathrooms that you like. Pay attention to the sinks, the faucets, the tiles, the lighting. Then gather all your pictures together and have them duke it out bracket style like in March Madness. Once you've narrowed it down to about 10 images, you can start noting what it is you like about each image. Is it the tile? Do you love the undermounted sink? Is the shape of the mirror really intriguing? Write all of this down and start to get a sense of what each element will look like in your dream bathroom. And what are all these different elements, you may ask? Let's begin with the foundation of any great bathroom, the tile. You'll have tile on your floor, you'll have tile on your wall, and there are lots of options when it comes to tile, so let's unpack them. First of all, there are different materials and types of tile, and I'm a fan of them all, so I'll go through what the options are and try and give you the pros and cons of each. So the first one that comes to mind is, of course, glass tile, which can be very glossy, very bright in color. It can look very rich and luxurious. Glass tiles typically only go on wall surfaces as they're a little bit too delicate to walk on. And they do tend to be on the pricier side, but they are extremely beautiful. And if you find a glass tile that you like, you can always consider doing an accent strip of it if you don't want to pay to have an entire bathroom full of glass tile. But if you do, it will look like $1 million. The next tile type is ceramic, and this is a type of tile that is glazed and can feel very artisanal and handmade. It's in a medium price range, and it can be used on the floor in some occasions. I don't use a ton of ceramic tile in my day-to-day design work just because I get what I need from a different type of tile that has a similar look to ceramic that is a little bit more affordable, and that is porcelain tile. Porcelain tile in a commercial interior designer's life is basically the backbone of all the work that I do. It's the most affordable, it's the most versatile, and I just get overwhelmed with joy when I think about porcelain tile. Porcelain tile can be formed and shaped into lots of different sizes and styles. You can get porcelain tile that looks like wood, which is a great option for the floors if you want a wood look flooring in your bathroom. But I think having wood, true wood, in your bathroom floors can be a little bit of a gamble because the water and steam from your shower and sink will most likely bring some level of warping to wood. So if you find a porcelain tile that looks like wood, that will make it much easier to maintain and care for. You won't have to worry about warpage and you can clean it with a mop. So let's talk a little bit about some classic tile shapes and sizes. One of my favorite classic tiles is the penny round, and this is typically a ceramic tile that's been glazed. It comes in a lot of different colors. You'll see it on the floor, you'll see it on the wall, and it's very cute. It's got a great energy to it. I would say that it's really great for flooring, especially in a wet area, because it provides a lot of slip and grip. The larger your tile on your floor, the more slippery it can be. So if you use something like a penny round or a mosaic on your flooring, that will provide a lot of slip resistivity just naturally. So you'll notice that in pools or in pool locker rooms or in the shower areas of locker rooms a lot, that you'll see a mosaic tile, which is just a tiny little tile, or a round penny tile. I think these are really cute for the floors of bathrooms, for the walls of bathrooms. I think the only downside to a penny round is because of the way it's laid out, because it's a circle and not a square, you have more grout space. So you end up seeing a lot of grout. And that is a little bit of a sidebar as well that I'll dive into. Grout in general is so overlooked in bathrooms. The grout color that you select for your tile is so important. It not only has a visual impact on your space, but there's also a cleanability component to consider when you're selecting a grout color. And yes, grout comes in tens of colors, I would say close to probably 50. I mean, you can even get grout custom colored if you want. I'm actually a big fan of using a cool accent color as a grout, like bright blue or bright red. On a white tile, it can look really, really sharp. It's definitely more of a quirky look, but I'm a big fan of it. I think a more traditional look would be to do something like a white subway tile with black grout. And the reason you would want to do like a dark charcoal or black grout is for cleanability. If you select a white grout to go with your white tile, you better be prepared to clean it on the daily, because especially if it's on the floor, it will tend to pick up dirt and it will get dark over time. Sometimes going with a darker grout color is a better way to hide stains, especially on floors, certainly in showers, and even on an accent wall behind a sink. So be very intentional about your grout color and think about it in the context of the color tile that you pick out. So I mentioned subway tile, and if you aren't familiar with that, it is a rectangular, usually white glazed ceramic tile that got its name from its prevalent use in the subway systems. It's very cleanable. It looks very fresh. It's got a super classic look to it. This is a tile that you would probably only use on the walls, and then you would use some kind of a different tile on the floor. While smaller tiles definitely give you more slip resistivity, one of the advantages of using a very large tile on the floor is that you have fewer grout lines, and therefore it's much easier to clean. The grout lines are really where all of the dirt collects, so if you want a floor that's really easy to clean, you can get a really large format porcelain tile, and they come in really big sizes. You can get them in 24 by 36 or 36 by 36, and that's inches that I'm quoting, by the way. And you can even wrap those up the wall if you like, and that really minimizes the amount of grout joints, so there's less cleaning to do. And that ties into the next thing you'll want to consider, which is the extent and area where you're having tile in your bathroom. You'll definitely have tile on all of your floor, but depending on your budget and what look you're going for, you may decide to be strategic about which walls and where on the wall you put tile. I think personally it feels super luxurious and spa-like to have tile on all four walls of your bathroom, but the reality is you can save hundreds of dollars if you decide to only use tile about halfway up the wall. So you're basically striking a line where you would have a chair rail, and the tile goes up the wall only to that point, and then everything after that is just painted drywall. Another cost-saving strategy would be to only put tile on what we call the wet walls, aka the walls where there are plumbing fixtures. So if you think about a typical bathroom, at least in my mind, there's a sink and a toilet on the same wall, and you would put tile just on that wall, and you would either tile the shower or use one of those drop-in fiberglass monolithic shower and tub units. And then the other two walls in the room would just be painted drywall. One thing to note about this strategy is that you want to be really focused on the transition of where the tile changes to drywall. So there are tiles that you can purchase that have a little curved lip on one side that can create a transition between the tile and the drywall so that it looks finished. It's also really smart to transition from a tile to a painted wall on the inside corner of a room. So rather than an outside corner of a room where the edge of the tile would stick out a little bit and be very vulnerable to collisions, getting knocked into, things like that. And of course, you can always put some kind of a corner guard detail, but those can be a little unsightly unless you're working with an architect who will craft something custom for you. Lastly, I want to talk about where you can get tile from. I think every local town I've ever been to has some kind of a bath and kitchen renovation store that sells tile, and I think that's a great place to start because it's super accessible. But you can also look at places like Home Depot or Lowe's that have a wider selection of tiles to choose from. I personally have a few favorite national tile companies that I like to look at when I'm selecting tile, and a lot of them sell directly to consumers. So one of those is Dal Tile, which is a really great national tile company that has a huge selection. I think that they're one of the largest tile companies, and they do sell their products at either Lowe's or Home Depot. I'm actually not sure which one, but you can look directly on their website and browse literally thousands of tile types. And they also have stone. It's a really great place, even if you're just looking for installation images to get ideas. They're fantastic. My other current favorite is Tile Bar, which is so fun. They have lots of really great trendy styles, from glass mosaics to fun patterned porcelain tiles, and they're really great about sampling. So you can order a sample online and have it to look at all of your different materials with together. Now, the other thing you can do with tile is potentially, if you want to go a little retro, you can wrap it down onto your bathroom counter. But I think that is a pretty specific look. So I want to talk to you about some other options for counter materials. If you're doing a small powder room, you may be able to purchase an all-in-one unit that includes a very small sink and counter with some under-counter storage below. But if you're doing a full bathroom, you're going to want to consider the counter material because there will be a lot of it and it will be highly visible, probably the second most visible surface outside of the floor and the walls. You can always look at stones like marble or granite, but I think there are a lot of other options these days, and one of those is a resin solid surface. This is available in many brands, the most popular of which is probably a company called Corian, and I will leave a link to their website in the show notes. There's also a really popular product that is usually referred to as quartzite or compressed quartz, which is a man-made product that kind of has the look of terrazzo or granite. It's a little speckly, but it's man-made, so you can control how big or small the specks are, and it comes in a really wide variety of colors and textures, and some of the products even have cool things like recycled glass content. There's a company called Ice Stone that's made here in Brooklyn that is completely made from recycled glass content, and it's a very cool look. The next thing you want to think about is the style of your sink. So the basics include the undermount sink, which is my favorite. This is a very clean look, and basically you would attach the sink to the underside of the opening in the counter, and it would look very seamless and clean. A popular style right now is the vessel sink, which sits completely on top of the counter and almost looks like a bowl that the faucet goes into. And that's kind of a unique trend right now. It's very spa-like. And then the more traditional sink is the drop-in, and that is a sink that you put in through the top of the hole in the counter, and there's a little bit of a flange around the edge that connects it to the counter. This is a little bit less clean in terms of aesthetic compared to an undermount, but they do tend to be a little bit more affordable. Of course, you also want to think about the color of your sink. Most sinks come in bright white, bone or off-white, and then a black. And so you'll just want to coordinate this with whatever your countertop material is and the color of your tile. And now let's get into the jewelry of the bathroom, starting, of course, with the faucet. There are so many different shapes and sizes for bathroom faucets. I think it's another one of those things that gets taken for granted. But you can select a faucet that's very angular and square. You can select a tall, gooseneck, elegant faucet that comes in a black finish. Oh, that's the other thing. You can pick a gold faucet, a silver faucet. I feel like black faucets are super popular right now. So consider that and coordinate your metals, please. You can also think about what lever style you have on your faucet. So a lot of faucets come with a single lever handle that can turn from hot to cold. But some, if you're going for a more antique or a vintage look, would have a separate handle for hot or cold. Another thing to consider with faucets is an element of sustainability, which I will talk about whenever I can. So with faucets, there are different water pressures associated with whatever faucet you're looking at, and that is referred to as GPM, or gallons per minute, meaning how much water comes out of the faucet per minute. And a sustainable faucet has a low GPM, so you may not feel like you're getting the most intense water pressure out of your faucet, but you're really just washing your hands. You're not taking a shower. So I would recommend looking for a faucet that has an aerator that allows it to have a low GPM. This is a really good and important step in water conservation, and sustainability should really be built into all of our interior design choices. So check that out when you're shopping for faucets. So the next piece of jewelry we have is the lighting, and this can be so much fun, but there's a little bit more to bathroom lighting than just decorative sconces, which, don't get me wrong, are so cute and so fun. But the other thing to consider before we dive into the different types of wall sconces is the architectural lighting and how you decide to wire and switch it. So if you have lights that are in your ceiling, you may have one that is specifically over the sink, and you may have one that's in the shower, and you can make the decision to have these on separate switches. So you can turn both on, you can have one or the other. You can also make the decision to have them be on a dimmer or not. And these are all things you want to consider if you're working with a contractor. And in some instances, these are things that you can do on your own. Here in New York City, I don't believe you can do lighting on your own, or at least I wouldn't. When you're thinking about everything you want to have hooked up to the switch right next to the door, you can think also about having a fan in your bathroom. And this will help with relieving dampness in the air and making sure your bathroom stays really dry. So, decorative sconces. I said we'd get back to this, right? There's really nothing cuter than having a matching pair of sconces on either side of your bathroom mirror. And I think that selecting these is a highly personal thing, but there are a lot of great options to look at. And if you're interested, you can look at the website YLighting.com, the letter Y, and they have so many lights. You can filter it by type. You can look under their sconce section and find something that looks super cute and makes you happy. The one thing to keep in mind is when you're installing this light or having your contractor do it, you want to aim to have it installed somewhere between 65 and 70 inches from the floor. That's kind of the golden spot where the light will be high enough to illuminate your face nicely, but it won't shine in your eye uncomfortably. Speaking of mirrors, this is another great place to have fun and play around and express yourself. So there are so many different shapes of mirrors these days. You can do the traditional square, a circle looks really cool. There are also more oval-shaped ones or rounded-off rectangles. Even just perusing Home Depot's website, you'll see that there are just tons of mirror shapes, and some of them are frameless and some of them have frames. This can be another opportunity to introduce your accent metal, whether it be black or some kind of decorative gold. But you do want to be mindful about the height at which you mount your mirror in relationship to your faucet. So make sure that you understand how high your faucet will be, and then give at least 4 inches from the top of the faucet to the bottom of the mirror. You could definitely get snugger than that if you have to, but you want to give yourself a little bit of wiggle room. Okay, so the next item is a big one, and I haven't touched on it yet. I've been kind of saving it till the end, but there are important decisions that need to be made around tubs, showers, or both of them, frankly. So if you are doing a shower, there are a few options, and I touched on this earlier. You can do a walk-in shower that is basically just an extension of the floor that's completely tiled, or you can have some kind of a ceramic or fiberglass pan in the floor, and there's a little lip up into the shower. If you're worried about drainage for that walk-in shower, usually what your contractor will do is just slope the floor down slightly to the drain so that water doesn't go all over your bathroom. Another thing to think about with showers include your privacy point. So you can do a traditional shower curtain, which can be a lot of fun. There are so many great textile companies out there that have cool statement shower curtains. You can also do something clear or super neutral. You can also do the classic glass door that's very chic and slightly impractical, in my opinion, just in terms of day-to-day function. There's also the option of just doing a little fixed glass panel and having the entrance to the shower be completely open, which I think can actually look super chic. If you're doing a tub, I mean, really, the sky's the limit. And of course, as I mentioned before, I'm a bath geek, so you can think all about having a clawfoot tub, a modern freestanding tub with its own filler spout. You can have a combo tub within your shower. You can have a deep soaking tub. There are so many things to consider. And if you have the room to have a separate tub outside of your shower, I think that's like the ultimate deluxe move if you're a bath person like me. But I think that bath people might actually be in the minority, and some people choose to forego having a tub at all, which I think is super practical. If you don't take baths, why have a tub, right? Unless you're planning on doing lots of laundry stripping like I've been lately. And the last of our major plumbing pieces is, of course, the toilet. So there are a lot of things to consider when you're selecting a toilet, and I'm not even going to dive into all of them. I'm just going to keep it at the basics, right? So first of all, let's start with color. Black or white. Those are usually your two options, and if you're doing a dark, moody bathroom, you gotta do a black toilet. If you're keeping it light and bright, go for white. Yes, there are toilets that come in other colors, but I think that the models are a lot more limited, so if you try to stick within the black or white range, you'll usually be able to find a decent toilet. The next thing to consider with a toilet is how it is mounted. So most residential household toilets are floor mounted. That's what you see, and it's pretty normal, and it fits within most conventional residential plumbing setups, which is great. But if you want to go for a really modern, easy to clean, visually expanding option, you can look at getting a wall mounted toilet. Now, let's be real, this is a more expensive option, and in a lot of cases you're going to have to reroute your plumbing to accommodate this, but it can be especially fantastic if you're dealing with a super tiny restroom or bathroom. It'll save you a little bit of space and it'll look a lot bigger. The other thing to consider with toilets is if you're going to go with a tank or a tankless model. And again, this can come down to cost at the end of the day. If you have a traditional floor-mounted toilet with a tank, that is totally cool. But if you want to go tankless, you're going to have to pay a little bit more to have a toilet that flushes solely through water pressure and not through the pressure of the water that's stored in the tank. So there's almost like a little air-powered jetpack that flushes your toilet, basically. But it is a very clean look to have a tankless toilet. On toilet brands, there are tons. There's, of course, the classic American Standard, And if you want to go for gold, look at the brand Toto, T-O-T-O, and prepare to be amazed. There are automatic toilets that will close and open their lids, heat their seats, and sometimes even talk to you, which would freak me out personally, but whatever floats your boat. Okay, so let's not forget about storage, right? We touched on having under-counter cabinets, which would be below your sink and below your counter. But you should also consider, if you have the room, potentially having some kind of full-height cabinet or even a full-blown closet for linens and other items. You'll also want to think about towel bars and hooks. And when you're planning to place those, you want to think about the space that it takes up when the towel is on it, not just the space of the hardware itself. And so one of the most important things is that you do your very best to get samples of all of these items. Get a sample of your tile, get a sample of your countertop. See if you can get the metal finish of your faucet. I know Kohler gives them out. I know they do. And you might even be able to get the metal finish of your towel bar or towel hook. Get everything together, lay it all out next to a window or under a good light, and take a picture and make sure that you like the way everything looks together before you hit purchase on anything. And you can even sketch things out on grid paper in terms of dimensions and placements with the mirror, the faucet, the sconces, as I mentioned before. Give it some time. Make sure you feel comfortable. Make sure that you don't get sick of things in a week. Really let it sink in. Okay, so those are the basics. We did it. We could go into detail, and if you have any questions about particulars, feel free to send me a message on our Instagram, Soft Landing Podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a 5-star rating. And you can also write me a little love note on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you have a great day, and we'll talk again soon. Bye.